Sing them over again to me.
In the book of Romans, Paul describes Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. In this great message in the book, Paul tells us about Jesus and having faith in him. We are thankful that you are listening to this Words of Life program, which is brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to listen about Jesus. The sermon you will hear is sure to be a blessing, but first we present singing for our Lord.
Yeah.
Holy Father, we rejoice in the resurrected Jesus. It is by this holy event that we can have life with you. Thank you for loving us so much. We pray that the news of salvation and the saving power of Jesus will be shared in this program and by all other efforts that serve you. There are people who are living faithfully as they face Satan's opposition. Please bless them. Also bless each of our listeners as they have need. And just as we know that Jesus was born on earth and after his death was resurrected, we know that your word teaches that he's going to return to call his people to himself. Please help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Romans chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on a sacrifice of atonement.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life Gospel radio messages. Thank you for your letters and for your comments as we study together in the Word of God. The title for the lesson is A Sacrifice of Atonement. And our primary text comes from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. Please listen to the Word of God. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the truth, the Word of God. Many years ago, a preacher told me he had been invited to preach at what he called, quote, a liberal church. He decided to preach on the topic of the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross. After the service, an elderly member came up to him and thanked him. She said she had not heard about Christ on the cross for a very long time. Preaching in that church evidently rarely focused on the cross, rarely focused on the saving blood Jesus shed to redeem mankind from its sin. A sad situation. As these type sermons, messages regarding the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ are not popular topics in much of Christendom today. How important is the gospel according to the scriptures? Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Notice here that these gospel truths, the heart, the core of the gospel, are of first importance. These truths regarding Christ's death for our sin and raised on the third day are the central truths of the good news or the gospel, the glad tidings of God, of Jesus Christ revealed to mankind. Notice also that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian Christians, wrote, "I want to remind you of the gospel." That is, they and we today are never to forget the importance, the first importance, of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's dive deeper into this topic. That someone dies for others is not that uncommon. However, Jesus Christ died for all sinners, for the entire human race, for our sin problem. Without this truth, Christ's death was worthless, because those who believe in him would still be in their sins and without hope. However, according to the Scriptures, Christ, as the sinless Son of God, took the punishment of sin upon himself, so that those who believe can have their sins removed. Furthermore, he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. God the Father, therefore, accepted his Son's perfect atoning sacrifice and proved it by raising his Son, Jesus Christ, out from amongst the dead permanently, never to die again. The death of Jesus Christ on a cross for the sin of the world is foolishness to most. For others, it's simply too horrific to even affirm. Some claim Christ's crucifixion is an elaborate conspiracy to gain religious sympathy for Christianity. Some use the crucifixion of Christ to justify their anti-Semitic views against Jews, who boldly cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. But who was ultimately responsible, for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans? Yes, mankind's sin was responsible, but ultimately, it was actually another in time and purpose that was responsible for the death of Jesus Christ as an atoning sacrifice on a cross. Jesus came to die on a cross manifestly to absorb the wrath of a holy God. God the Father himself was the chief person in the death of his own Son. The Son's death was predetermined before the creation of the world in the councils of the Godhead, before the foundation of the world, knowing it would be the only way, the only acceptable way to a holy God to redeem mankind from its eventual sin. This is revealed in Scripture. Consider 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 that says in part, "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 says in part, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge." Note also the inspired words of the believer's prayer to God, as recorded in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28. Their prayer included, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." They're praying to God the Father, you understand. "Whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." Meaning, from eternity past, God had predetermined that his one and only Son would die an atoning death as part of his preordained plan for mankind's redemption from sin. If God were not perfectly just, there would be no demand for his Son to suffer and die as an atoning sacrifice. And if God were not loving toward mankind, there would be no willingness to offer his Son, his one and only Son, to suffer and die. But God is both perfectly just and perfectly loving. Therefore, his love is willing to meet the demands of his perfect justice. So the Scripture reveals, Romans chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because of his forbearance. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Here we have the concept of God's justice repeated 4 times in one verse. God is perfectly just, perfectly righteous. He must punish sin. Therefore, it was predetermined that the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, Himself, would be the sacrifice of atonement, meaning He was to be the one who would turn aside God's wrath due to our sin, mankind's sin, and take away our sin through faith in Him and His blood. Many ask or wonder, but why the shedding of blood? The answer, because life of the creature is in the blood, according to Leviticus in the Old Testament, according to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. God stated in that verse, Leviticus 17:11, that, quote, "It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life," end quote. So since blood contains life, it is sacred to God. Shed blood, death, from a substitute, atones for a sinner allowed to live. Jesus Christ died in our place for our sins. God is justifiably angry at sinners. All have rebelled against God and cut themselves off from Him. But God declares that His sinless Son's lifeblood, His death, is the final remedy once and for all to sacrifice Himself in order to turn away God's wrath for our sin. Christ then stands in our place, having paid the penalty of death as our substitute, who completely, utterly, exhausted, satisfied God's justice, God's wrath. Only Christ's sacrifice on the cross brings pardon, brings the ransom from our sin, and deliverance from condemnation of sin. Consider the first epistle, the first letter of John, chapter 4 and verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Sin may be a small thing to humans, but it is not a small thing to a perfectly holy, holy, holy God. The proof is, the verification is, that God gave His one and only Son in order to exhaust His wrath upon Him as our substitute. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." And also consider John the Baptist as he made that great proclamation in John chapter 1 and verse 29, which says in part, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is, the cumulative sin of the entire human race. But of course, only effectual through faith in Him and His blood shed on the cross on our behalf. No, those that claim that the cross and the shed blood on the cross of Jesus Christ is just, quote, slaughterhouse religion, is certainly not the attitude that we should have. It's the very heart of the gospel. The cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, is the core, the central truth of the gospel. Why did God send His Son to die? It had to be in order to exhaust God's wrath, even upon His own Son. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, it refers to Him as a sacrifice of atonement, or propitiation, which refers to the removal of God's righteous wrath due to our sin by providing a substitute. The perfect substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross had to be provided by God Himself, His own Son. Jesus Christ on the cross did not just cancel God's wrath. He, Jesus Christ, absorbed it all and diverted it from us to Himself. God's wrath for sin is just, and it was poured out and spent on God's Son, who is our Redeemer. Now that's divine love. May we never trivialize God's love for mankind. In the cross, we can behold both the pure justice and pure love of God. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 5 and 6, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Therefore, our mindset is, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16.
I gave my life for Thee.
What a blessing it is to know that Jesus is our sacrifice of atonement. We pray that you are a Christian. If you are not, or if you have questions about Brother Johnson's sermon, please feel free to write to us. We will be happy to send you a CD of this and last week's entire program if you simply ask for broadcast number 2212. That's 2212. We are encouraged when we hear from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.